watch me while I sleep. Don't require your belief. Offering silence but no relief. Can you scream without a sound? Like the freeze that's coming down. Barren space where nothing grows. A secret place where no one goes.
Chaos Springs Eternal is a Delta Green actual play. Delta Green, by its nature, deals with violent themes, disturbing imagery, and horrors beyond our comprehension. Now, if you wouldn't mind comprehending some horrors with us, I think you'll have a good time. Hello and welcome back to Chaos Springs Eternal presents season one, City of Woe. Gonna need you to be a little quicker on the draw there, Noah.
Woe!
There you go. Thank you. What does Woe stand for? It stands for we only get one clue an episode. No, you got a few clues last episode.
I think you threw a few extra letters in there.
That's the old English spelling of Woe.
Yeah.
Wait. How are you guys spelling woe? Oh, there, you know, there's a couple things that I've snuck into the show from time to time, whether that be in the audio itself or in maybe the show notes, that are just these little Easter eggs, you know, sort of ARG type of things for any of our dedicated listeners. In case you're interested, but one of them is how woe is actually spelled, and that's right, it's we only get one clue an episode, so that's woe. That's woe, and that's how you pronounced it in old English. So
yep,
if you take all the times that I've spelled woe and you run that through a, you know, binary calculator, you'll come up with a secret message. Make sure that you send $10 in a self-addressed stamp envelope with the correct answer inside, and you'll get a special reward from us.
And Dan will send you a decoder ring.
I will send you a decoder ring, which...
Yeah, in the bottom of a box of Cheerios.
Which, if you use the decoder ring and go back through every third word of every every episode of this podcast, including this one,
it just sends you a link to the Alchemist Barbecue side where he's ghost shipping you.
And we'll send you a 10% discount on Alchemist Fire Barbecue, a now defunct.
It's like $4 off. That's not worth it at all, buddy.
You know, it's funny. I've gotten like 3 or 4 messages over the past couple weeks that were like, hey, your website's down. And I'm like, yeah, it's not. I don't do this anymore. Sorry.
I'm really sad about that. Pork Ferocity went hard.
Maybe one day I'll bring that back. If I get laid off again, I'll resurrect it.
When later on down the line, when we do quartermaster meetups, you're just also selling Pork Ferocity on the side at the merch bar.
We'll sell that at live shows. instead of t-shirts, we'll sell just loose bags of seasoning.
It's Pork Ferocity barbecue sauce.
You're selling 10-year-old spice. Yeah.
I would make a new run.
It must flow. It must flow.
Well, we've just dated this episode very strongly to
the... Hey, guys out there listening, if you haven't yet, go watch Dune 2. If you've already seen it, go watch it again. It's a phenomenal series.
Or don't.
Or don't if you don't want to.
Listen, I am halfway through Dune Messiah, and my intention is to...
So jealous.
...force myself to read all of the Dune novels. I finally got through Dune... And honestly, it's just like the first third of Dune that really dragged for me. Mm-hmm. The last two thirds of Dune were fantastic and really good. And then the first third, in retrospect, it's like, oh, that's why this all went this way. And the last two thirds were like, this is amazing. I get it. I get why Dune is Dune.
I started a video recently that was like why Tolkien hated Dune, and just the idea of like Tolkien straight up beefing it with like Herbert, whatever the fuck, Dune man, is Frank just Herbert. So funny to me. I hate your fantasy. I hate it.
Here's the thing about Frank Herbert. I don't know why, and I don't know where this came from, but at some point in my life, I saw a picture of Frank Herbert, and my mind immediately overwrote it with Orson Welles. And so every time,
dude, I'm not the only one.
Every time I think of Frank Herbert, look I very think of Orson similar. Welles. But now I can only see like Orson Welles in these interviews and think about him being like, the spice must flow.
Yeah. Whenever I think about Orson Welles, I think about Unicron, which is a role he hated.
Yeah. He's said it many times. He cannot stand playing that giant Transformer. I am so envious of you being able to recently reread or read through those two books for the first time. That might be those two books specifically, the books that I wish I could get one more time through as a first timer again. Those are phenomenal novels and I love them to death.
Well, you know what I wish I could listen to for the first time again? Last episode.
Segway master.
This last episode, y'all did not break, but did enter Antoine's house after checking with Detective Virgil Marr, who was just thrilled with the legal implications of what you were asking, as you made your way over. Once we realized whose car we were in the whole time, checking inside the house, you discovered a handful of things. I think the biggest thing that you discovered was Antoine was having some issues with money, frequently pulling cash out and not getting a lot of cash in. You learned a little bit more about the nature of his business, including actual logistics that he was coordinating. You also learned that the Riverbend Blues Lounge was a business association that was fairly recent, and it looks like maybe he had only just recently struck this up for this relationship. Was there anything else that y'all came across that you wanted to? Oh, he didn't have a Paradise Rebels CD.
He had a note that just says how much he hated Paradise Rebels, actually.
Yeah. Listen, he's our biggest critic. I understand.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention that he had hundreds of articles posted in the newspaper that were just scathing reviews of Paradise Rebels live show.
Wow.
Perfect. Glad. Joel has gone from, it's really unfortunate, to fuck this man.
Yeah. So we were going to the mayor's house, correct?
Mayor's house? You were going to the mayor's house? All right.
Well, you know what? I respect it. Let's not do that.
All right. I assume you want to go to City Hall.
Yes.
Yeah, might as well.
Let me bring y'all back to City Hall in case you don't remember. You got wood doors with open glass windows and lighted. I think that's called lighted doors, where it's like the open glass in the wood.
Mm-hmm.
The heading up steps to go inside. Pushing inside, you make your way up the stairs around through the various hallways that you remember from just, what would this be, like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, a little over a week, that you met with the mayor last time. And you walk up and you see Matilda Green, a slender, tall woman with fair skin, light colored hair, typing away at her computer as you walk around the side of the hall where the mayor's office is located. She looks up briefly and she looks back down. She says, I'm sorry, I didn't have you on the schedule for today. Did the mayor not mention a meeting?
Oh, no, we're here about payment for services rendered.
Oh, okay. Hang on just a second. She picks up the phone and, hear her talking to the phone. You hear the mayor respond on the other side. You hear a little back and forth. And then finally, she hangs up and says, okay, you can head on in.
Thank you. And she goes in. We all go in.
Okay. As you enter, you notice the mayor's office door opens. He's sitting in a suit. He gestures you for you to come in. It's a spacious room, large desk in the center, a couple comfortable chairs on either side. Mayor himself is seated behind the desk. And he says, Phantom Fighters, well, I would say to what do I owe the pleasure, but Matilda's informed me that you are here for payment. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I did mention, of course, that I was willing to compensate for the services rendered. And, given, I'll be honest, given the massive amount of attention and my communique, it appears that your services have been faithfully rendered. And so I would like to...
Quite beneficial to you, in fact.
Yes, yes. So,
mayor of the town with the first nationally confirmed ghost sighting.
Yes. Yes. First confirmed ghost sighting, indeed. So, are you saying that the other episodes that you recorded were not confirmed ghost sightings?
I cannot speak to their veracity, verificity. I don't. Noah doesn't know the word exactly I'm trying to use, but Marcy's smarter than Noah, and Marcy would know the word.
Yes. Okay, so...
Trufiness.
Yeah, he pulls out a checkbook, right? And he pulls out a check and begins writing. And y'all had agreed, I don't know, at some point off screen, we must have agreed on some sort of rate, correct? Have we mentioned?
Yeah, at least 10 zeros.
It's a Googleplex. Yeah. It's,
yeah. Yeah. I think actually what it was is that he had been in touch with Clementine. And Clementine right. had sent yeah. y'all. And so whatever the agreement was something that she had made. Now I as a handler who is trying to read the read his players and adjust to, you know, sort of their thing, I get the idea that Marcy is pushing for a little more here.
Oh yeah. She literally got pushed through a fucking floor and broke her leg and so ended up fighting a ghost and just like she's like, mm-hmm.
I think he looks up and he's like, "Now, Marcy, we discussed a little bit extra hazard pay."
Yeah, so I went to the hospital for this.
Yes, and I do want you to know that I have contacted the Careful Medical Center, and all medical bills are being handled. They're going through my insurance. In that, and so you will not have to. You will not have to. Pay any in that regard, but what I thought
that's good
was that we might tack on an extra 25% to your base fee as a recognition for the hazard pay, and in addition, you know, the above and beyond that y'all went through.
And how much do you think the tourism is bringing to Care 4 right now?
Well, that's hard to say.
Mayor, I think we all know that the tax should be at minimum 35.
Well,
Marcy, at the corner of her mouth, almost imperceptibly, go higher, you idiot.
He looks up and he's like, how about 26%? No,
I'm going to write something on this piece of paper and I'm going to slide it over.
Big old goose egg.
Yep.
How about Marcy, go ahead and give me a persuade roll, unless Cyril wants to step in here. I know Cyril's got the nicest persuade, but...
Yeah, I also have really good persuade as well.
Okay, if you wanted to make a persuade here, you could.
Looks at my base 20.
Yeah, that was kind of me trying to cut in to assist, because I know that Marcy is not the smoothest talker of the group.
No.
How about an 8 under 70?
Nice.
Wow, an 8 under 70. He looks up and he's like, yeah, you know, it's a good point. It's a good point. And
you have to think Care 4 is only going to get more and more popular as we get more and more jobs and find more and more shit out there outside of Care 4.
That's true. And once I get everything turned up in the mansion, turned over into an Airbnb, I'll have quite the income coming in. Now I can truly rent there.
You're turning that location into an Airbnb?
Yes, it was what Antoine and I had discussed prior to all of this, and it was going to be a more steady stream of income for him, as well as, you know, providing a little launching off pad, and a way to honor our family legacy. Not just Airbnb, you understand, it would, you know, we would rent it out for weddings and photo shoots and those sorts of things.
About how long do you think that'll take to get all that sorted out?
Oh, well, we were hoping to do that soon, but now there's much less of a time demand. You know, prior this was one of the things that we were trying to do to preserve the house so that it could not be seized or otherwise eminent domained, if that is if a verb I could use. But now there's much less of a rush on that, thanks to y'all. So I tell you what, I'll tell you your base pay plus let's say plus 50%. Is that fair to all of y'all?
Joel looked to the other two. There's a glint in his eye.
Marcy, just thinking of how all of this is going to be taking to like unpack over the years, I suppose that's agreeable.
I wish there was like, instead of a sanity roll, I wish there was just like a stress roll that just was like the because it's not like you're losing your grip on anything, right? This is like a yeah. We have to find a way for the mayor to not turn that into an Airbnb.
Yep, that was something I thought about last time too.
Hey, Glamis, like, you gotta figure out how to get everyone the fuck away from the. Can you put up a smaller dome around just the manor?
Hey, Glomas, good thing. Good news. We stopped the eminent domain of the manor. Bad news. You're getting eminent domain.
You'll just have to find a new place for Glomas to live.
Not it.
So he tears up the old check that he had written some and writes out a new check and hand delivers it. He hands it to Joel and is like, well, suppose that this is the end of our business relationship. Thank you all for what you've done again. And
Marcy looks back for a second, like points at herself, like, you, me too? Where?
Oh, no. Sorry, Marcy. I meant the Phantom Finders.
Oh, like a look of relief comes over, like, oh, thank fuck. Okay.
Joel looks at the number, eyes bulge a little bit, and realizes he's not mature enough to handle this much money. That is not just his, and will immediately hand it one over to Marcy.
Marcy's like,
it's $500.
$750, thank you very much.
A smooth
operator. Speaking of business relations, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I'm trying to think how to word this. We are assisting in the trying to find out what happened to your brother.
He kind of looks up quizzically. He's like, I wasn't aware that you were involved in all of that.
We were just in the right place at the right time, and we got a couple of friends. And we are worried about what your brother was spending money on and how much he was spending money on.
There's a dour look comes across his face. I really hope dour is the right word to use, but it sounds like it is.
Dour means he's happy.
Yeah. I mean, like, just like a, you know, unexpected. If you ever had water at a restaurant and, like, for whatever reason, you didn't notice there was a lemon in it, and it's just like,
oh, you take a sip and you're just,
oh, this is bad. He's like, yes, my Antoine was in some dire straits financially, living well beyond his means, but can you connect some dots here? What you think that's the cause of his disappearance?
It's not impossible.
I think some of his creditors called in some debts. I mean I found that, you know, most of the time creditors tend to keep people alive so that they can pay money.
He just was living a lifestyle that didn't match up with his income. And we're just wondering where he got some of that money.
Well, I mean, when our parents died, they left quite a bit to us.
Sure.
The,
like, hanging out with people who own McLaren's kind of money. Like, I know you guys are wealthy. That's no question. I mean, you're the mayor of the town. You guys have been here a long time. But, I mean, there's such thing as Deep South money. But this seems a little extravagant, even for a small town big fish, if you know what I mean.
Well, Antoine had, that's part of why Antoine had spent so much time over in New Orleans. He had many business contacts over there that he spent time with, coordinating. I question how much coordinating he actually did versus just racing fast cars, spending lots of money, and living quite a frivolous lifestyle. Now, you understand that our parents left us quite a bit of money, and actually recently, when our great aunt passed, she left us a little bit more in addition to the Florizond mana that had come our way. So it just, I suspect this latest influx of cash, maybe it felt like it solved some of his problems and in fact created a few more.
Did he ever come to you asking for assistance in paying off a debtor or that he was in trouble with anyone?
He never mentioned any trouble specifically, but he did from time to time ask me to help invest in some of his business ideas, just in terms of, you know, he had found some sort of retail arbitrage and he didn't have the liquid funds to purchase what he needed to. And so he would come to me and from time to time I would lend him money, just depending on the size and, you know, appropriateness. And he was slow to pay me back, I'll say that. And I was less and less inclined to lend him money.
Are you perchance familiar with a Riverbend Blues Lounge, Mr. Mayor?
He taps his finger to his chin. Ben Blues. Yeah, that sounds familiar. Is that out of New Orleans? Is that one of those nightclubs?
Joel nods his head. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've been there, but I've heard of it, sure.
Have you heard of any
about Leathertop LLC or an Ezra Blackburn? Did your brother ever mention any one of those names?
That's right. No, I'm trying to remember. We had lunch just a few weeks back before he disappeared. Ezra sounds familiar. He'd mentioned some other business dealing that he was headed to New Orleans for, but I'll be honest, I didn't know if it was a new one or just one of his regular staple of business that he did.
Can I roll a humant on that? I don't trust him as far as I can throw him.
Yeah, me as well.
Sure.
Thank you. Oh, baby, we see through you, Mr. Mayor.
I don't know why you think he's deceiving you.
I mean, hey, even if he is telling the truth, we see through him.
Yeah. you see, he probably knew Ezra. He like that name definitely seemed familiar, but you don't get the idea that he's lying. He's being straight up with you.
Doesn't seem like he's lying or holding like withholding information.
Yeah, with two successes, I think the thing that you would pick up on is he was maybe a little more peeved about the money, you know, borrowing money thing than he let on, but he might be trying to temper that given the fact that his brother's dead now. So
yeah.
Although he doesn't technically know that.
Right, he doesn't know that, right. And we know that the last place that he was seen, Antoine was seen, was the Riverbend Blues Lounge, right?
Mm-hmm. And you have only shared that with Detective Marr.
Right.
Correct.
And I forget, what did I learn from his meeting with Judge Kitani?
You learned that Judge Kitani had a run-in with a lawyer.
That had some sort of grievance against him.
Yes, you learned that he had a meeting with an Alan Curtis out of New Orleans who was bugging Benjamin Kitani, suggesting that there might be some legal actions brought against the Babineaux.
Mm-hmm.
Antoine was deep in debt. Yeah, questions that were more like accusations and what they had been tied into. And I think you had even figured out his name, right? Alan Curtis.
Alan Curtis was the one who was bringing accusations against the Babineaux.
Yes.
Okay. And then, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. I don't quite know, because I don't want to piss my uncle off by bringing that up, but maybe he'll, maybe Cyril will be like, so we've just heard through the grapevine around here that there's someone in New Orleans who's not real happy with your brother. Just from us digging around, we heard there was lawsuits and gambling debts, and we're just trying to piece the last moments of his life together, and any information you have about that would be good to know. Yeah, if you have any information, because I know that you, when you get into gambling debts, things get sticky real quick.
He looks up at you, and himself having rolled a little humid, he says, well, I suppose I shouldn't have expected everything to remain confidential between your uncle and myself, but yes, that I just can't confirm that there were apparently some evidence of, okay, maybe some greater issues that he had gotten himself into. Now, he had not confessed any of these to me, and again, this is something that I learned after he had already disappeared, so it was a bit of a surprise to learn that somebody may have been bringing a suit against him, or potentially was going to otherwise, I don't know, expose us.
Expose you what? That's what I want to know, if you guys are so squeaky clean.
There's no squeaky cleanness about it. It just may be that Antoine was misappropriating some of the family trust, and if he's pulling out a lot of cash, who knows what that cash is being used for? It's not being properly accounted for.
Right.
That the family trust is supposed to be taken out at a certain rate, with certain stipulations set up, and there are exceptions made, and there's all sorts of legal rigmarole, but it just seems like whatever Antoine had gotten himself into, he was just in over his head.
Yeah. Was this a trust you shared with him?
Yes, this is a trust from the Babineaux.
How'd that make you feel that your brother was spending your trust money like that?
Well, the way the trust is set up, he has his money, I have mine, so it's not an impact to it's the impact to the overall, which does technically affect the returns overall, but, you know, in terms of what I expect to get, it doesn't affect me. Now, I'm not thrilled about it. Let me get that straight. But, you know, he didn't deserve to die over it.
Well, we're still holding out hope he's alive, right?
Be honest with me, Phantom Finders. Do you have any hope that he's still alive?
I don't know, sir. We've seen a lot of shit lately. So I think we're the wrong people to ask about that.
Well, I suppose if we see ghosts on video, then maybe he still is alive out there somewhere. But I'll be honest, I haven't the damnedest clue where he could be and what he would be up to now. Unless he had been stashing away some of this cash for a real big bender.
Interesting. All right. Any other questions, my compatriots?
You asked the last question I could think of.
No.
Well, Mayor, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your money in this regard. We consider this matter closed. If there's anything else you need from us, let us know. We'll see if we can oblige, and we'll be on our way here.
I do want to thank you for what you've done for the town. It's a nice little boon in travel and notoriety, and I can't say no to that, but... Mm-hmm.
We would ask just right now, we're not going to lead anybody out to Florizon. That's not what we're going to do, but we will, just for like reshoots and things like that, we will need to have access to the property, if that's all right with you.
Sure, that's fine. And I just want you to know that I am trying to be as straight a shooter with you as I can, and I feel like
no
I feel like there is some suspicion on your part. And if you have some accusation, I wish you would just bring it up and maybe we could pound out any misunderstanding.
Well, I think that you as a family try to put on a good front. I think that you've got some skeletons in your closet from your past, but who doesn't, especially down here? I think if you just want me to be blunt about it, I think your brother was involved in some things you weren't happy about. And there's some effort here to maybe not have some of that stuff come to light. There's a lot of ugly dealings happening on the side. People are suing you, suing your family, trying to get land from you. And I think a lot of it has to do with what your brother got messed up in. And I understand that you're on damage control. I get it. But I think you know more than what you're letting on. And anything you can tell us about the Riverbend Blues Lounge or anything your brother was up to is going to make our job a hell of a lot easier.
All I know is that Antoine liked fast cars. He liked fishing.
Drugs.
And he liked drugs. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I know, that was the extent of his... I didn't know him to be much of a gambler.
Mm-hmm.
Although I'm sure he hit the casinos from time to time.
Sure.
But he had never indicated to me that he was deep in some sort of debt to some loan sharks or anything like that. I mean, his business was never extremely profitable, I'll tell you that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't need to be because he had a trust to fall back on. And I mean, he could afford to not be that great a business. He just needed to essentially run some paper to keep things looking okay.
Sure.
And I did not mess around too much in my brother's business except for the handful of times that I had loaned him some money.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, those became much scarcer.
Sure.
Now, as for skeletons in my family closet, well, as you said, there's no one who doesn't have a little bit of black mark, but...
I mean, your black mark tends to be a little more, shall we say, mystical in nature. I mean, you got a house that's been haunted by an ex-nanny and a ghost that one of your ancestors put in there. I mean, that's more than just, you know, you had a guy who shot somebody in New Orleans back in, 1864.
Yes, as for all the occult history of whatever the Babineaux have involved in, I've heard all the rumors. I don't find the evidence to be particularly strong. I was never involved as a child. I've never heard of them. Not something that I was brought up with. So I can't say anything here nor there. Now, the existence of ghosts, perhaps, maybe leans a little more credence, but it's simply something that I don't know about. So when it comes to covering my family's reputation, I can only deal with what I know about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I get it. I'm not trying to throw accusations at you. I'm just trying to tell you where we's coming from here.
I understand. And if it makes a good story.
If you know something or something about someone that your brother had dealings with, it would be helpful if you could tell us so that we can do something about it. Because right now we're just flying blind trying to figure out who or what or where your brother went. And that's all we're trying to do because it connects into our mystery that we're trying to solve as well. So like Ezra Blackburn, if you had any more information on that person, that'd be wonderful. Any information on Riverbend Blues Lounge or a person who works there or anything like that. Anything you can dig up and your brother mentioned. I mean, that's all we're looking for.
All I remember about Ezra is that he mentioned the name Ezra the last time we were in a lunch. I think it was some sort of new business venture that he was excited about.
Okay.
That's all I remember.
All right.
He didn't ask me for money to help fund it, or he didn't give me the details of whatever it might be. You understand, my brother and I...
You led very different lives. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I get it. You're a politician. He runs a quote-unquote logistics platform out of Carrefour in New Orleans. You live different lives. I get it.
Yes.
We're just trying to piece the last bits of his disappearance together. So, And I know that you probably didn't know much about what he was doing in New Orleans because you're a hometown boy here. We got stuff, responsibilities. We get it.
Well, I hope you do find more. And if you do find more, please let me know. Please bring that information to you. If you know anything,
All right.
I would just like some sort of closure.
Sure.
As would we, Mr. Mayor.
Very hard to... I don't want to settle any of his accounts because... As I've mentioned before, it makes no sense to settle him when I have no evidence that he's dead. Mm-hmm. So while I may not hold out much hope, legally, that doesn't really matter.
Right.
So, but I hope that you all have a good day. And if I learn any more, I will let you know.
We'd appreciate that.
And if you learn any more, please just let me know. And he hands a card. He's like, this is my... personal number. It will skip Miss Green out there.
Oh, thank God.
A shot rings out from the door. She stands there with a 45
12 gauge.
With a 12 gauge.
I heard that. This is the one goddamn thing I can do. Shooting the mayor.
One day, Mayor, there will be a reckoning. No, he doesn't say that.
He stands up and sees y'all out the door. And as y'all make your way back out through City Hall, what do you want to do next? This is like lunch-ish time, I would guess.
After we get a good distance away from the hall, Marcy's just going to like come out of her like autopilot trance and is just kind of look at y'all and be like, why did we drop so much on him just now? What the fuck?
It's his brother.
Well, sometimes you get a cornered animal, they start revealing shit they don't need to reveal. That's all I was doing. I was just pressing him because he needed to be pressed. We've been dancing around him for like a week now, and I'm sick of it.
Yeah.
With all this mystery about him and his brother and what they're doing and land and fuck all that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, Marcy and Cyril are only children, right?
Yeah. No, wait, no, Marcy does have siblings. Sorry, that was a little bit of, that was too much of Noah in the Marcy coming out, but Marcy does have a sibling.
Well, Joel will say, just like, and as if I had to guess how close Antoine and the mayor are, if it's even half as close as Clem and I are, there's very little that is shared between the two.
Yeah, you got the vibe that they weren't close.
Yeah, that's something that we learned from that, though. Joel made assumptions. So, that's why Joel started it at all.
Well, I'm curious what you guys think is going on.
Weird shit. Am I right?
No, it's weird shit, for sure.
It's actually totally normal.
Oh. Wild, but that's weird with the lie.
I do think there are two plots happening at the same time. Big shocker, right? I do think there's nothing occult going on at the Riverbend Blues Lounge.
You don't think anything occult is going on when there's a shapeshifter?
Oh, I think there's a cult. I think there's a cult shift happening there.
I don't think so. I think it would be hilarious if there is zero occult shenanigans going on there.
Yeah, it'd also be hilarious if Obi-Wan slipped on the lava and died in episode 3. That doesn't mean
that would happening. Be funny. That would be very funny.
I have the high ground. Just slips down this volcanic sand. No, the person who's running it and the last person that we have documented evidence was speaking with Antoine. It is a shapeshifter. There's no way that there is not something weird going on.
Okay.
Yeah, there has to.
I do think it's fair with a name like Ezra Blackburn. That maybe they have a little bit of a cult shenanigan.
Just by the name alone.
The last person who spoke to Antoine was not Ezra Blackburn. Was Ezra Blackburn, was not the shapeshifter.
He just flipped. He just flipped. It's the shapeshifter as known as Ezra Blackburn.
No, yeah, that is fair, but I'm...
And it's all of this out of the podcast.
It is one of those things where now it is, I think especially in Joel's mind, what can we trust in that footage? Who was he actually talking to?
Mm-hmm.
Properly. Yeah. So I'm kind of pulling off that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I think Antoine was too big for his britches, made promises that he could not keep, or saw through, or saw something that he was not supposed to see at the Riverbend Blues Lab, mm-hmm. and was taken out.
So I'll say this, you guys saw him leave.
Right.
Unmolested.
Yeah. That doesn't mean that he didn't
That's true.
Have interactions with them outside of it, though.
We saw someone who looked like Antoine Babineau leave. Eyebrow raise at Dan.
Ooh. Well, we do have his body, right?
Spicy take.
We have a body that looks like Antoine. Mm. The theory unravels.
All right. Well, let's bring it back in. I'm trying to take the temperature of the room here, because I want to know what you're gonna do now.
Yeah, that's the real question, right?
Yeah.
I think that we need to, at least we know Ezra Blackburn is involved in some way, shape, or form with Antoine, right? Tried to kill us with a Jeep, right? Like tried to run Marcy over, was whatever.
Well, that seemed accidental in the very beginning.
Right. We know that much is true. I think Ezra Blackburn is the next person that we need to figure out. Because they are connected to New Orleans. They're connected to Riverbend's Blues Lounge. They're connected to all that shit. I think that they were trying to get a foothold here in Care 4 because of the power that was hidden in Florizon Manor.
Agreed.
Yeah, there's something going on in New Orleans that they're trying to get a foothold over here to take advantage of whatever unlocking is happening or did happen at Florizon Manor.
To confirm something, in the emails going back to when we investigate Antoine's house last episode, they reached out to him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. No, Mark's on the money. Yep.
Yeah, like, because he can't be, let's just put it this way, he probably was okay at logistics, but he wasn't like...
Oh, shit. Yeah, hold on, you're right. They probably know that he's a fucking idiot.
Right.
Yep.
He's not like Elon Musk or like, you know, Amazon or anything at logistics.
Yeah.
I mean, Elon Musk is an idiot. Let's be real here.
He is an Elon Musk.
Right, and they figured out that his best thing was, you know, we'll bribe this motherfucker with blow, right? Like,
yeah, well, with blow and women and song
and McLarens and, you know, all this shenanigans. We'll figure all that part out, but then we'll get him. And then if they know, if they have some sort of esoteric, you know, mysticism, whatever, occult stuff happening there, or they need something from us, Care 4 is a place to come, right? Because they got this unlocking area, which is still in the works of getting redone, right? So, I don't know. That's just a theory.
Joel will say this in person, like in character, as soon as they get into the truck. He's not going to say it where people can hear.
Oh, you're in the back.
Oh, I'm in the bed? Let's fucking go. Joel's all about it. He's gone from fidgety and weird about riding to he is giddy as a clown.
He's all about it, yeah.
Yeah, he pulls down, you know, the middle window of the Cyclone. Says to them, hey, why don't we ask Glomis or Luna or... any of the girls in, you know, whoever is of power in the little book club that you're part of, Marcy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're more in it than I am. Well,
I mean you're in the club. I just know what's in the club.
Listen, you're the one who did a spell. All right, man.
That's a different story. But you can talk to the people that I don't know is what I'm trying to say here, Marcy.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Why don't we try and figure out some way to maybe see what the last thing Antoine saw was? I mean, if I can see and view people from God knows how far out, why can't someone who knows more, like a ghoul, extract those last couple hours?
Well, I'd had the thought that's a great idea, Joel. First of all, we need to figure that part out. If we can figure out how to do that, I think that Luna can help, or whatever you guys are getting messed in.
Are you suggesting like a scry through time?
Or a seance even?
Time scrying. Time cubes. Time reversal cubes.
Wait, no, that's even better. Hold on. Did Joel like is like slams all those like stop the truck, and he gets excited because his juices are flowing.
I slam on the brakes. You go flying over the hood.
Make a dexterity check.
Joel says ghosts are real. We have evidence. We know this is true.
I thought you were just gonna do there.
Why don't we try to talk to Antoine?
Because we don't know if Antoine's a ghost. Like, that's the thing, is like ghosts are super rare, but we don't know if he's a ghost or not.
Glomus ate his heart.
Yeah, and is the soul in the heart, Marcy?
No, I'm in favor of you. I'm countering what Cyril just said. I'm with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Even if he's not a ghost, if he is not a ghost haunting someone's ass right now, his soul is in.
He's haunting Glomus's ass partially, probably.
Probably. He is a spirit in whatever astral plane nonsense is in that book that I was given, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, hear me out. We go somewhere where there is power that he can show up to in a safe manner. Mm-hmm. And we just talk to the man.
Well, we can try that. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that not everybody becomes a ghost.
I agree, but everyone has a soul, right?
Well,
except for redheads, I understand, but was Antoine a redhead?
He was.
Shit.
I have no idea. I just made that up.
All right, new plan.
Yeah.
No.
Well, the other thought I had, which was along Glomus will also need to help us with, is that since me and Mossy and everybody shot up the Riverbend Blues Lounge, I was wondering if Glomus can change off shapes.
Ooh, or what if we just cut out the we change shapes and he just goes in for us?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he might be a little trepidatious about something like that, but we can ask him.
We can. I don't think he'll be about it.
Probably not. He's got shit to do. I mean, he's got a dome to put up.
Hey, you know what? Take us through a McDonald's drive-thru, and Joel will pull out his cell phone and tap it on the window, and he will call up Glomus.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
After several rings, you hear in just regular human voice, yes, hello?
Yeah, hey, Glomus, it's Joel. You saved the number, right?
Yes, I did that. Hi, Joel, how are you?
Are you lying to me, Glomus?
How are you?
Hi, yes. We have a couple of questions for you, and we're going to start with the one that I think you'd be more about, and we're going to go to the one that I think you're going to not like.
Okay.
We want to try and have a seance to talk to Antoine.
Oh, that probably won't work, but we could try.
Why not?
Well, I did eat his heart, and his ghost is not, like, around, as far as I can tell. I haven't run in. Have you guys... Was he in here?
I mean, no, but do the ghosts have to be where the seance is? I mean, Ouija boards exist. We can call on them.
Listen, I told you this. I don't know a ton about ghosts. Those were, like, the bunch. It's because ghosts are, like, rare, right? You got to be, like, super... You got to be really linked to the area in which you die. You know, those ghosts, you know, from what you've told me, they seem to have only been locked here because of the ritual that was done to trap and then the reversal ritual. So it seems like something specifically was keeping them here. And then it was amplified by the innate power of the manor. So, you know, that's why it works so well. I guess there's no reason that it couldn't. I haven't done any commuting, but if you guys wanted to try, you could try here at the manor.
Mm-hmm.
Could he get to it through your wards?
Well, the ward isn't up yet, so...
Fair. Okay, yeah. The other thing is, and this is a Cyril idea, not mine.
How many McRibs do you want, Joel?
5, please.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Can I? Do you want a McRib? No, sorry.
Six important. McRibs, please.
Can we have you go into the Riverbend Blues Lounge incognitus?
I would really, really not like to.
I told you. He says that to Cyril.
Got any teriyaki sauce? Any teriyaki sauce? No?
No.
Is it Shamrock Shake season?
I would like one. I would like one of the chicken wraps.
G-Man wants a chicken wrap.
One land, sea, and air burger.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We don't have a land, sea, and air burger.
Yes, you do. It's on your secret menu. I just looked it up on the internet.
There's no secret menu. What are you talking about? There's a
secret menu at McDonald's. We all know this.
It's the McRibbon.
Land, sea, and air burger, please.
Anyways.
Sir, are we in the era when chicken selects are still a thing?
It's a land, sea, and air burger is a fish and a chicken and a burger.
Okay, all right. Is that all?
No. Anything else? Glomus, you want anything?
He wanted the wrap.
Oh, yep. Chicken wrap. One chicken wrap.
Diet Dr. Pepper.
Sorry, is that one or two chicken wraps?
Two chicken wraps.
Can I have a 40 okay. piece?
A 40 piece. You got 40 pieces?
40 pieces will take 12 minutes. Is that okay?
Well, that's fine. We got time.
Just a 20.
All right. And a bag of ice. I heard you can do that.
No, we can't do a bag of ice. I don't know.
What about a birthday cake? Do you have a birthday cake? I heard you can do that too.
Sir, I'm going to call the police.
I heard you can get a birthday cake from McDonald's.
Sir?
This is 100% accurate. Sir, some guy do it on the internet.
Your total is 46.85. Please pull around to the second window.
Holy shit, 46.85 for all that? That's a steal.
Steal. I just want to make clear, this is not, you did not get the birthday cake.
What do you mean, too? It's fucking cheap, pretty like they're gonna chatter the price.
Oh my god, it's midnight, boys. We can tell. Anyways, yeah, I didn't think so, but the problem is we need a way to get into there because we believe that there is a shapeshifter among us. That's not you.
Well, ask him what I actually asked you. Did you ask him if he can turn us into different shapes?
Okay, can you turn us into other people?
There's a long silence, and he's like, I've never tried.
Oh. So that's not a no. You guys understand,
again.
He just turns one of us inside out.
I've not done a lot of interaction with people, right? Like, mostly yeah,
other than ghouls, eating them.
Other than eating them and, you know, stalking them, technically.
Right. And stealing the stuff.
Just stealing.
You've been eating McRibs for a long time, only real ones.
Holy shit.
Just stealing one thing from them. And yes, I have eaten ribs. Okay, let's not talk about this anymore.
No, hold on. No, hold on. Glomus, go back 3 seconds.
Yeah?
What? Do you have an item of Antoine's?
Yeah.
That could help us.
Oh, okay.
That might be able to help us in calling him in.
It's yeah, I stole a CD from him.
What band is it?
It's Single Dice Law Abiders.
God damn it.
I was trying to say you're gonna roll that flat check and it was just like nope.
Nope. Son of a, I don't want to talk to him anymore. Anyway, no, okay. To alleviate us going too further off track, Dan.
You get your food from McDonald's and you go to Florizon Manor. Is that what I'm hearing?
With the birthday cake and the ice bag?
No birthday cake, no
they
ice bag.
They do have those. That's 100% accurate.
Absolutely not. If you continue to ask them, they will pull out a gun and shoot you.
I want it.
This is Mark asking for the birthday cake.
This is me dealing with people when I worked at Starbucks.
So let's close the episode. Let's close the episode with y'all rolling up to Florizon Manor, seeing the 350Z there with the bullet hole patched with a trash bag.
Duct tape.
And as you pull up in the doorway is Glomus in his now familiar to you human form. And he says, seance, huh? Well, you guys ever done one of these before?
Not a real one.
Nope.
All right. Well, let's see what we can do. And he turns around and enters the door. Oh, he turns around. He's like, "You brought my chicken wrap, right?"
Oh yeah, we got your chicken wrap and your bag of ice.
God, there's no bag of ice.
And your birthday cake. Your birthday cake.
God modding the birthday cake.
The only person who could will a birthday cake into this game would have been Digby Paloma, but
yeah,
who knows what that guy's up to now. And that is a reference that no one will get. It's a perfect place for us to end. Thank you once again for tuning in to Chaos Springs Eternal Presents Season 1, City of Woe. We've had a lot of fun these last few episodes, and we've got the other, like, the next two or three episodes recorded, and it's really, really fun. I just love playing with these guys. I love playing Delta Green with these guys, and I love Arc Dream Publishing for putting out Delta Green. Shout out to Arc Dream Publishing. They've been doing a lot lately also to promote podcasts that have been playing Delta Green, so make sure you go check out their website, check out Reddit. They've been posting on Reddit. I've also compiled a list of Delta Green podcasts, and it's just a Google Sheets document that you can go check out, so I'll drop a link to that in the show notes as well. And if you have other Delta Green podcasts that you listen to, let us know. Please also let us know your feedback for Chaos Springs Eternal by going to iTunes or whatever podcast app you have and giving us some feedback. You can also reach out to us using our website, qmtabletop.com. We would love feedback. And if you do rate and review us, send us an idea for an NPC. We've got people to populate the world of Care 4 with. Things are going to get a lot weirder and probably a lot darker before too long, so just a heads up in case that's not quite your thing. We'll be back to, you know, the fun antics too, but just I know where this story is probably going, but who knows, because players never quite go along with my plans, but we shall see. Anyways, tune in next week. See ya.
When we meet up, we're going to go through McDonald's. We're going to get a birthday cake.
If you order a birthday cake and you get a birthday cake, I won't be able to handle it.
I think Dan and mine anxiety will spike severely.
Listen, I am okay ordering a birthday cake from McDonald's, but I don't think they're going to give it to us.
I don't want the eldritch knowledge that they can give it to me.
I know they're not going to.
They have to.
Fellas, they're legally out. They have to.
Legally obligated.
Divine mandate. They must give you a birthday.
They give me heart disease, and they also give me ice cream cakes. That's how this works.
It's an ice cream cake?